that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalle.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Manchester United edition. I know I've been away for a while, but as you know, AFCON takes priority over absolutely everything. We're back now. I've brought my friend along with me again. You guys know her. Imani, you want to say hello?
Hey people, I'm back. It's Imani.
She's back to rattle you lot after United have, well, rattle any non-United fans, should I say, after United have won a game again. I think probably since the turn of the year, United's form has coincided with so many players coming back from injury and just having a settled team. How pleased are you genuinely that you kind of can predict what Ten Hag is going to do finally, because of you've got that consistency of a clean bill of health? I know I'm saying this post-game because we know what's been in the game, but just prior to the game, how did you feel?
Yeah, it was definitely good to basically see a second Premier League game in the row. It was mostly the same XI except for Varane. Yeah. Understandable because he's injury prone, and also Maguire has played well when he comes in. So
yeah,
that was understandable, but yeah, that was good to see.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of people underrate and underestimate just how important it is to have a settled 11. Having a great squad to call upon is great, kind of thing. But how you go on long runs, how you compete, not even just win, but how you compete for big trophies and, you know, playing at a high level, just having a settled core of players. You know, I don't want to be conservative here, but I think you need to have like minimum 7 players that just play week in, week out at minimum. That's how you build consistency. That's how you build synergy. That's how you build good relationships all over the pitch, basically.
Yeah, especially your spine. Like, I think, you know, your wingers, maybe even like your attacking midfielder, those can be interchangeable, but really like your striker, your DM, or your two if you're in a two like us with Mainu and Casemiro, and really your center backs, that really should stay the same every single week.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, Mainu is probably a good place. Mainu, sorry, is probably a good place to start. United traditionally don't produce CMs like this. I mean, to my mind, the last CM, similar in style, I want to say, I no disrespect to him because I think he's one of the best players ever, probably Paul Scholes. I know Mainu is obviously quite different to him, just stylistically, but the calmness and the composure and the technical ability, it's right up there with Scholes, you know, and that's someone that's come straight out of United's academy. I mean, I'm not going to count Tom Cleverley because all due respect, but I think he's rubbish. But do you know, can you think of any other names? I mean, I can't. In terms of central midfield, I genuinely can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other one people would think of would be Pogba, but yeah. Like, other than that, really, when it comes to midfielders, straight out of the academy, that's a no. We're usually good with, you know, attackers out of the academy.
Okay,
maybe here and there a defender, but really not really like a really like a CM. So it's refreshing to see. It only took, you know, a whole damn decade to finally freaking play Skulls, and we couldn't even buy the right guy. He had to come from the academy. But hey.
Yeah. I mean, it's always one new thing. But Manu is a gem for a host of reasons. And I know United fans, you know, love him to bits. But one of the key things about a player like Manu is United, prior to him coming into the team, and even while he was in the team, were in a shitstorm. Absolutely everything that could go wrong went wrong. And for someone so young to come into the team and literally just calm things down, quite literally giving instructions to players that have got a decade on him, you know, instructing Bruno Fernandes, you know, the captain.
Like, yeah, we'll get on to that guy.
Yeah, we will. But he is, just from that standpoint, forget you technical ability, from that standpoint, it is just, he's to me, he's already massive for United, and he has to be one of the, and I hate doing this to young players, but when you're that good, he has to be one of the main men for United for at this point. I don't want to heap the pressure on him, but for where United have to go, he's the player, and anyone that's listening to this pod, you guys know, he's the exact profile player I've been banging on about for United to have for ages. It's such a key attribute. And the last time United were not even just feared, but just a really fantastic football team, they had Michael Carrick.
Yeah, and I mean, changes so much doing so little. You know, one of our biggest problems, I've said this season, is we're too static when it comes to passing. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to keep passing back. No one can break the lines. But one thing about breaking the lines is you can't always just pass your way through the lines. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to be able to turn and wiggle your way out of pressure. Yeah. And I feel like that's something our midfielders just aren't good at. Mm-hmm. They really do not like to be turned in spaces because they're afraid of losing the ball. Mm-hmm. And you always need at least one midfielder, I feel, to be able to do that, because it really helps you with breaking out the press. Mm-hmm. No matter how quick or slow you're passing, you need to be able to do that turn. Because personally, that's one of the issues that I have with Bruno. For all the good stuff he does and the chances that he creates, he can't just turn out of space, and obviously neither can McTominay. So that, to me, is one thing that's very, very important about Kobe. He's so good at doing that.
Yeah. And this is it. When you have a player like Lissandro in defense, right, who is so good on the ball and is so good at finding passes, he needs somebody to be able to, that he feels confident enough to, that I don't have to always, all of the pressure doesn't fall on me. I can give it to Kobe. And you know what? I know something good's coming out of it. So I can give the ball to Kobe under pressure, back to goal, running back towards me. And I know he's not going to give the ball straight back to me to put me under pressure. I know he's going to find a solution out of it. Football is all about, to me, all about relationships and all about doing what's best for the team, generally in that precise moment. You know, so sometimes a player could score a great goal kind of thing, but you watch a replay back and thinking, do you know what? 9 times out of 10, that was definitely the wrong decision, you know? And I feel like Kobe's one of those players that if you watch his tape and you assess each time he has the ball and the decision he makes, after you play the tape again, you're like, you know what? That was the best option almost every time. He's that level of player. And you know, this isn't me overrating him, but it reminds me a little bit of Fabregas in that sense, where they're just always doing the right thing. Kobe doesn't need to be told this, that, and the other, and be coached compared to someone like, I don't know, McTominay, no disrespect to him, but Kobe just seems to have a feel for the game. You know, there's this famous presentation Arsene Wenger done years back talking about Fabregas, and I love bringing it up all the time because it always makes me smile. But he was, he referenced Wayne Gretzky, right? Obviously, I'm not a hockey fan, but I know who he is, and he's, you know, to my mind, he's the GOAT, right? Let me just be right. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. So there was basically somebody was playing a tape about Wayne Gretzky, and every time before, when he had the puck, basically they'd look at around all these options and see what he'd done, basically, and every time they played the tape, people would pick what he should do, and he picked the right option pretty much every time, basically. And that's what Arsene Wenger compared Fabregas to. And I'm seeing lots of good signs of Manu. Lots and lots of good signs. The goal he scored during the week, if he didn't do that, nobody else on the pitch was capable of doing that. So he had to.
Like, yeah. He literally took it on. He literally said, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I'll do it myself, because Bruno is not making a guy under pressure.
Nutmeg, the curl. I mean, shout out to Amari Forson for making the run.
That run was just perfect, kind of thing. So, yeah, man. But yeah, enough. I suppose enough about Kobe. But yeah, great player. Maguire, he came back into the team, and pretty much every time Maguire played this season, it's always been in spite of something, like we don't want to play him, but we kind of have to. And to me, I don't think he's let the team down. There's been a few shaky moments, don't get me wrong, but I think overall he's always been solid. What did you make of him today overall?
Yeah, I think that's kind of been like his issue, I feel like, since he got to United, but it really highlights the season. It's like he'll have a good game and he'll do good things, but then he'll have like one or two moments of madness where you're like, this is why you can't be trusted. Because I get why he came into the game. It's West Ham. You don't want to risk Varane getting injured. You know, Maguire is supposed to be strong and like tough in the air. And he did make some good like interceptions and blocks and whatnot. But then, you know, he does the silly things where he just gives the ball away when he's receiving it on the turn, or he's just not focusing good enough when clearing his lines when the ball's coming in early. Little things that he can do, but it's like in just that moment he kind of just has a lapse of concentration, and it's like, you know, this is the reason why he's not the undisputed starter every week. It's like if he could iron those things out, he probably would be. And of course it also doesn't help that he turns like a truck, so the fact that he doesn't have athleticism, it really makes those tiny little errors stand out more. But that's just the problem. To me personally, I never had a problem with Maguire if he was a squad player. Mm. But to me, he just cannot start in and out. And today showed why. Really good, but he's always got that mistake.
The Emerson chance, you know, if Emerson had a brain between his ears rather than a bit of fluff, you know, West Ham potentially equalized and the game is completely different. But yeah, I think you're spot on. Like genuinely, as a squad player at a team that's near the top of the league, kind of thing, Maguire's absolutely fine. You know, but if you want to be serious, he just can't start. Which
think that's something people don't really think about. Like, yeah, you want to have the best player starting all the time, but really and truthfully, in order to last a long season, especially with they keep adding fixtures, you need to have a decent squad. And in order to have a decent squad, you need to have good players who are not always going to start on the bench. I mean, they're going to come off the bench, or sometimes they will start. And people are like, oh, you don't want to see them play. But also, that's the thing about rotation, because you can't just leave players out in the cold, even though you have to have your set starters. Like, you have to have a squad, and you need to have players like him who are good enough, who they should be pushing for the starting position, but you know, in the back of your mind, they're never going to get it.
Yeah. No, I'm in total agreement with that. And you know, to use a funny example, Rob Holding, right? This just shows you what the level that you need. Rob Holding was a squad player for Arsenal and played an important part of last season in the last, you know, 10, 11, 12 games. And then obviously Arsenal, you know, trailed off in the end. They couldn't match the form of the first part of the season. We sell him to Crystal Palace, and to my mind, I do not think he started against Crystal Palace yet. That shows you the level of squad player that you actually need. Had we sold him and he's like became their best centre back, you're like, okay, cool, that's fair enough. You know, I won't say we would have made a mistake, but it was like, okay, maybe we thought he was a lot worse than what he actually is. But clearly, the level's not there. Now you compare it to someone like, for example, Tomiyasu. Now Tomiyasu is banging on the door to start every single week. Like, that's how good he is. That's the level. You need players that, you know, you're unsure about if they're 100% good enough to start, but you do not mind them starting, you know, a decent run of games, basically. I was shitting myself every time Rob Holding started the game. I'm sure United fans, when Maguire had to play like a long trip of games, every week it was like, what's it going to be, you know, Maguire kind of thing.
Exactly. Like, you don't want it to be every week, but if they have to come in for like a 5-game run, you should feel secure in it.
Yeah, it should be fine. And the same thing goes for forwards as well. You know, you want forwards that, you know, they might play 5 games, they'll score 2 goals, get 1 or 2 assists. Okay, cool. That's a good return for that period. Now my main man's back. Let's get cooking again, kind of thing. And that's the way top level teams should operate. But obviously, you know, it's never ever that simple. Okay, elephant in the room. Do you want to wrap on Bruno Fernandes, or am I going to have to cuss him out again?
I mean, it's funny when you do it. I mean, I'll just say this, you know, for all of the good things that he does, there mm-hmm. are negatives. And I don't think we're ever going to fully flourish yeah. with him being a starter. I don't care how many good things he does. His glaring negatives are there. I see it with my eyes. And people can ignore it when he gets a goal or an assist, but it is very glaringly there. Until he, I truly believe, until he becomes relegated to a squad player, we're just never going to truly prosper. Now, that being said, Ten Hag also doesn't help the situation, because there's no reason for Bruno to be playing full 90s every single freaking week. Maybe it'll change now that we're only having one game a week, but in, and I get we had injuries before, but I just feel like taking him off at like the 75th minute here and there, that would probably help with his freshness. And also because he seems to have an issue when we're desperate in games to just want to try the hero ball, and it just doesn't come off. And I truly don't know how to fix the Bruno Fernandes conundrum. Well, I do. In a dream world, we just buy Florian Wirtz from Leverkusen. But that's never going to happen.
I've got thoughts on Wirtz. Good thoughts, actually. But yeah. See, United fans, when I say it, the problem when she says it, I'm sure you guys will agree. Look, there's every single top team in the history of football, their main attacking midfielder or like creative spark has always been super duper secure on the ball. Number one, they've always been super secure on the ball, and they've always had good attributes when under pressure. And it feels as if this is where Bruno really lacks. Now, he's a creative force of nature. You know, not all chances are created equal, but the numbers don't lie at the same time. He does create a bunch. But United, it almost feels as if United are a team. Like, I looked at all the young talent. I think United are looking good, you know what I mean, for the future at least. But there's a few of these like problems that are still here, that United are gonna show potential, and then they're always gonna be let back, held back because of X player or Y player. And Bruno is definitely one of those X or Y players. He, for all he's good, basically, I think someone summed it up pretty perfectly on the timeline. I forgot the account, but they were just like, Bruno has more negatives than positives. And I think that's the best way I can put it. Like, he can do a lot of good things, but then there's more bad things that happen with him when you have the ball. And it's, yeah, I'm not convinced United are going to really be serious until they find an upgrade from, because if Bruno was a squad player like said before, no problem. Or at least someone with less responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. But he cannot be the main man. It's
And you know what it reminds me of? And you know, people might crucify me for saying this, and I'm not saying as talented as him, or people might think he's more, but he kind of reminds me of like Isco in Real Madrid. Very, very talented player, but there was a reason he could never truly nail down a spot in that team. He'd have good runs, but whenever they tried to make him the main man, it never worked out.
And there's the one run in one of the Champions League campaigns, I forget how many, it was like three in a row. But again, you're right, because it was just like, it was one period. It wasn't over sustained amount.
Exactly. And I do remember that run. He killed it during that run, and Zidane even tweaked the team around him. But then the following season, he was out again. And there's a reason for that, because even as good as he was, he just didn't fit and was able to carry the team forward. And I think in that same vein, it's the same thing with Bruno. For all the good that he does, I truly do not believe long-term he can carry the team over. You know, he had his good period when he first got here. Like, let's not lie. He literally did put the team on his back and carried us forward. And he even had his moments last season. But over a long and consistent period of time, it's going to need to be scaled back if we want to be truly serious.
I'm in total agreement. Let's talk about the first half in general and the goals. First of all, in the first half, West Ham completely outshot United, despite United winning. And I felt as if United were in control for large periods of that game, but it just felt as if there were shades of Wolves there a little bit, where United weren't sure whether to really go for the kill. They were a bit scared of, you know, could they end up coming back into the game. But Hoyland's goal, that's the type of goal your number nine, your bagsman, like, that you just, it really excites you, it satisfies you. He's taking it on he's nowhere near goal kind of thing, and he's created a chance for himself and has stuck it in the back of the net with his weaker foot.
Yeah, he had to show off Van Persie in the stands.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's such a positive, it's a great goal, but it's a positive sign. It's a huge positive sign for United that if we give the ball to Hoyland within 25 yards of goal, he can make something happen. And it's such an underrated skill and underrated quality that not a lot of strikers have that you know, they can
and
make
to have it at 21 and today's exactly. His birthday, that's so young. And you know I could tell from the beginning that eventually he was gonna score. The qualities were there. It was concerning how long it was taking, but it was always gonna be there. It was really just the price tag that was making people kick up a fuss. But what really impresses me is even though he has started scoring, he really hasn't gotten that much more chances than he did earlier in the season. He's still eating off of scraps, which is what I truly find amazing. So I just feel like the more he does get more and more chances and more confident, he's just going to keep growing. And even over the course of the season, I feel like he's gotten stronger with his hold-up play. So that is definitely a good investment and a striker for the future. And I can't wait to see how many goals he scores next season. You know, someone on the timeline I follow, they tweeted out during the Wolves game, I'm surprised that besides Jude Bellingham, Rasmus Højlund is the only player born after, I believe, 2003 to have 10-plus non-penalty goals this season.
There we go. That says it all. Like, and he's I wouldn't say he's worried me because, obviously, well, he has worried me because I'm an Arsenal fan, but what worried me most as an opposition fan is the fact that you could see he had this unwavering belief, this unshakable belief, despite things not going his way, he just kept on plugging and kept on trying, kept on trying, kept on trying. And his physical attributes are so good that I'm not quite sure who the fastest player in United's front line is. It actually might be him. It might be Garnacho. I don't know. But he is lightning. And then he's got this really, really strong frame. Like, he's a big guy. And, you know, he's dependent. Like, it seems like that he's developing a dependable trait where he's going to get you. Four and four is just, you know, Haaland will be happy with that, basically. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there's nothing really more you can ask from your striker. Just keep scoring goals, and you know, the team needs to keep creating for him as well.
And making runs, he doesn't give up.
Yeah, exactly that. So that was a great goal. The second goal, right, came literally right after one of the players were talking about Maguire's mistake. And this is classic United. United can kill you so quickly. You think you're in control, whatever, blah blah blah, and before you know it, the game's taken away from you. West Ham missed a glorious chance. They go up the field and Garnacho absolutely punishes them. And he dunkadooses his celebration, which lets me know that, you know, we already know Garnacho is a little arsehole, but he's really, really, like, he's really buying into it. He really wants to be the villain now, kind of thing. But the thing that pleased me most about the goal is that just how quickly United got from one end to the other and just said, okay, let's put this game to bed. And they did. What did you think of it?
I mean, I love a proper counter-attacking goal. Like, football heritage, United heritage, perfect. I mean, even his second one too, you know, with McTominay getting and just passing it, like, just amazing. And, you know, my one problem with Garnacho, obviously, is he's very raw and his ball striking not good. But I keep telling myself to have patience with him because he is young, and really and truthfully, if we were a better team, he wouldn't be starting so much, but he's always trying. He's always confident. He never gives up. So, you know, I try to rein in my patience. I feel like in this new world we're in, social media and the way the game has changed, we're just so, you know, the post Mbappe Haaland world, we're just so into young players just being so refined at such a young age. And there are other wingers around his age who were a bit better than him, not gonna lie. But still, we have to be honest that a lot of teenagers, they're just very, very raw and unrefined, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And Garnacho is probably, put it, Garnacho is probably going to end up, to my mind, playing closer to an actual striker than a winger, just because of the way I see the way the game going. But his education out wide is absolutely critical. I think he's learning more and more about just playing for the team in general. And I think there's a simplicity to his game. I think he needs to add weight. Sometimes, he knows you're quick enough, just knock it around your guy and cross it into the box. Højlund will be there. Højlund will be somewhere there.
Yeah, he really needs to work on that. I mean, he's a little selfish with that.
Yeah, and you know, he keeps cutting back in and then trying to take, like, obviously his first goal happened where he cut back in onto his weaker foot, and obviously he got a goal from it, but sometimes you need to just do your job and be a perfect. You're not a better finisher than Højlund. You don't have a better ball striker than Højlund. Give him the ball. So yeah, like, and to be honest, in the first half he did something where he's running in from the left and Højlund's making an outside run to him, and he's like, okay, cool, Højlund's in a better position, let me just give the ball to him, and he didn't. Højlund didn't finish it, obviously, and those are the kind of things he needs to do consistently, yeah, more, because United will score more, he'll get more assists more, United will win more games just by being that little bit more decisive and less selfish. The other elephant in the room, Marcus Rashford. We saw twice today, right? After his great goal on Thursday, we thought, okay, cool, he's gonna, you know, that composure, that calmness to his finishing is back. He had two chances today where he just snatched it, and his reaction afterwards let me know exactly where he's at mentally. He completely utterly lost his head at both times he missed, right? And I'm just like, hold on, you're Marcus Rashford, bro, like, relax, just relax. So, you know, we know about the Oxford stuff, but how much do you think that's affecting him, basically?
No, I think it's both. I mean, whenever he goes through bad periods, his confidence drops, and that, I feel like, exacerbates the problem. Like, I don't feel like he's really someone who just keeps having belief in himself, and, you know, the manager tries. But, you know, I feel like he took it on the chin last week, so I don't know what it is about today. And I really don't know what's going on with him, if it's just confidence or just bad luck at this point. Like, I really don't know. I hope he can fix it and where his head is at, but it really is confusing. But, you know, I'm not gonna just give up on him. Like, I find it crazy that fans want to just give up him or just sell him. Like, please calm down.
It's Marcus. Like, honestly speaking, if United want to sell him, boy, I know a place in N5 that would love to have him. Like, selling Rashford, I think, would be the dumbest move United, and United have made a lot of dumb moves, but I think it would literally be the dumbest move United have ever made, like, in my lifetime. Seriously, it would be so stupid. Like, that talk of Rashford being sold lets you know where the modern football fan is, genuinely, because it's just crazy talk.
It's just lack of patience, and then it's crazier to me that they talk this way about an academy guy.
Rashford kills it.
Not like we dropped 100 million and he's stinking up the place like Antony. Yeah. This guy came from the academy. You would think that in itself would give him more patience. Like, it's insane to me. And it's like, yeah, he was not good today. But even in some of the games earlier in the season when he wasn't scoring, he was the only person making a threat. So it's like, people just gotta be patient.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I suppose the hard part now is talking about Leicester again. I mean, Ten Hag's comments, he literally said this not too long ago after the game. He has said, and I'll read it out, he has said, where's it gone? He doesn't look well. It's very bad for him, very bad for the team. Yeah, that's not good to hear. Generally, you never want to see players injured like that. But, you know, the fact that the way it happened, lets you know that it was just a freak accident. Like,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing where, like, he was rushed back.
If I caught him, I'd slap him up. But yeah, it really was just unfortunate.
Yeah.
It just spells our season. It's unfortunate because he's been riddled with problems all season. But, you know, I just hope it's not too long out. And, well, you know, I guess we'll just be doing more Varane and Maguire, I guess, or Shaw at center back. Who fucking knows?
Shaw at center back. You know, he's done that before. It's not actually a bad shot, to be fair.
Yeah, but also, I mean, well, this is going to be a short pod, so we'll have to get into this at another time. You know, this wouldn't be such a big issue if freaking Ten Hag hadn't spent 60 million of the Queen's money on freaking Mason Mount this summer.
Is he fit again, or is he just, like, injured?
He's injured. I don't know. I don't care. I never wanted him. I wanted us to take that money and buy a defender, and clearly we should have, but hindsight is 2020. This is why we need a director of football, everybody.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Okay, so I suppose to wrap things up now, United moved above West Ham now. Do you see yourself making I suppose it's going to be a bit harder without Leicester, but do you see yourself making a top four push?
Yeah, it's going to be hard now if he really is injured, but because I really was believing one game a week for the rest of the season, we can definitely push. We'll have to see now with the injury, but I would like to believe we could still do it. So we shall see.
I mean, Tottenham obviously are always good for a laugh, you know, towards the end of the season. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I think United now with a settled team and now with a settled front four, like, I think that's your best front four, you know. And in future, you know, Ahmad will replace Bruno. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Casemiro.
Casemiro back as well, you know what I mean? So I think United will definitely probably go on a good run now, I think. But yeah, top four, we'll have to wait and see. But it's so close. If you look at that, generally, if you look at the table, like, everything seems to be so close. Like, we actually thought, like, okay, cool, United have pretty much got to accept Europa again next season. But I'm looking at it now, like, look, United are 6 points behind Tottenham with the same amount of games played, 8 points behind Aston Villa. We know what Unai Emery's like as well. You really never know, man.
Yeah, knowing we're right behind them does make me feel a little bit better. You know, people can go on and on about Aang and how he's improved the team, and he has, but Tottenham will always be Spursy. So that does give me a little bit of confidence, especially because, I mean, I think if we finish fifth, we may actually still be able to qualify for the Champions League.
I think we lost it because Newcastle and you guys actually came last in your groups. That's what fucked us, basically.
Oh, yeah. So maybe we need to push for fourth. Well, we shall see.
Yeah. All right. This has been great as usual. Imani, do you want to tell the people peace?
Yes. It's been good to chat with my friend here and, you know, Shirtless Plantain Show. Always listen, guys. It's always fun. Whoa. Right.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain.
That? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Exco, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean. Lysol clean.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.